You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Everybody, sorry we're stuck in these boxes.
why are y'all doing this?
A dirty hippie who is living dirty. Very dirty hippies.
So dirty.
That's us.
Hi, friends.
Hey, Joshy.
Hi.
How's everybody doing?
So good.
Well. So good.
Oh my God. So good.
Healthy.
Everything's fine, really.
Great.
Yeah, I know. Even my cats are fucking drinking at this point. Oh God. I miss you guys so fucking much.
You too, buddy.
You know what I did today?
I could guess.
What are you guessing?
Nothing.
That's not true. Fuck you. How dare you? Listen, I don't condone bootlegs. Bootlegs kill single parents. It's true. There's been a study, but I did listen to an audio of, what was that?
I heard got a text.
I listened to a bootleg of the last show before you guys went to London.
Oh my gosh. I remember that show. That was an insane.
It was insane. And yeah.
So much emotion.
It was the worst day of my life.
Well, yeah, it was a very sad, very intense day.
It was like the
amount of time we had to hold after Aquarius and all of us just kind of sobbing and chest heaving and just standing there, just taking it all in.
It was like a rock concert that night. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think shows like that have gotten crazier now, because that was the first time I've ever experienced that. And now, I don't know if you guys have felt this, but a lot of last shows for people, even when people leave companies, and I'm sure Frozen was insane.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was amazing and crazy.
The internet. That's probably the presence of the internet or people. I don't know, because that last show of Hair was the first time I'd ever seen it or experienced it.
The only thing for me that's compared to it was prom, but that, I mean, the Hair in itself, I've never experienced anything like that. Like, remember the Tonys when that screen came up in the opening when, like, Liza Minnelli was walking through?
That was amazing.
I still get goosebumps.
And we
saw Brandon freaking out next to me because he had to walk past Liza.
In case
Brandon lost his mind
he
about
lost
Liza.
Lost his mind about Liza, yes.
Oh my God.
I accidentally snubbed Liza when we performed. I was dancing right next to her, and Theo went down into the audience, and we were instructed to bring people up, a few people, for the opening number. And I brought my kids to the Tony Awards. So Theo went down and got my son, Bridger, who was like 8 at the time, I think. And he brought up Bridger, and just as I was supposed to kind of jam with Liza, I turned to her and Theo was there with my son. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I grabbed my son and Liza was like, no. And you can watch it. If you watch the tape, there's the moment where you kind of see her. Okay.
That's amazing.
Oops.
I remember being assigned to dance with our choreographer, Carol Armitage.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I ran out to her to dance with her. And she went,
stop it.
I remember you saying that, Josh. And
then I turned to Brian Darcy James, who was nominated for Shrek or something, and he went. And then Jim Damiano just and I looked down when those three fucking goddamn Billy Elliot kids were dancing with like Anthony or some shit. And I was like, stop.
I teabagged Les Moonves during that number.
Well, he deserved it.
Why not? We had permission.
Yeah.
We had permission to do it.
Consent. No. Could you imagine doing hair now? Like the audience would have to like sign forms.
Well, for I used to take sips of people's drinks.
We'd all be dead. I met people's heads. I mean, I was basically French audience member. What did you say, Casey?
I was drinking their booze.
Yeah.
After intermission, they'd have, you know, we'd like bang on the, well, take it easy, headphones. We would bang on the doors and come in and I would full on take their drinks because they were delicious. Now you could never.
No. I was not self-conscious, but I was a big So You Think You Can Dance fan and a big Neil Haskell fan. This is so embarrassing. And I voted for him a lot. And then he won the lotto. And so he was in the boxes and I was on for Theo. So I was John Wilkes Booth. And I never touched people because I always felt very awkward doing that. But I like gave him a hug or something. I was like, oh, I love you. Neil, you're not watching this, but my God, I'll pay your bills. In times of love and cholera, I'll pay your rent.
Well, those were the times where we could like see someone on audience and, who can I flirt with tonight? Yeah. That person, yeah.
Or who can I dangle my junk over tonight? With?
I never thought that. I just did it.
Yeah, okay, good. People always ask me, do people ask you like, well, I don't know. My answer is always hair. It's always hair.
Always.
Like, what is the show that changed your life, or what is your favorite? I said I've had amazing opportunities in the theater, but it will never be like that for me.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's untouchable, that whole experience. It's just like,
you know, first meeting all of you, and this was my first like real big lead in a show. I wasn't going to go in for it because I had gone in for so many urban shows and I was told that I was too boy next door. And so, and this came up and I wasn't going to go. And Jay was like, well, you have to go because it's an audition, just go. And I was like, but I'm not going to get it. They're going to tell me I'm too squeaky clean. I'm not going to do it. And I walk in and I was like, so I'm determined to make this my own. If I'm not going to get it, I'm going to just do whatever. So I was practicing the song in the shower and just, you know, doing everything that I did in the show. And I was like, if I'm going to sing it, I'm going to sing it that way. So that was my audition song. And then they came to me after I got it and said, what you did in the audition, we want you to do in the show. Huh. And I was like, I just threw everything to the wall and it worked.
I had a similar thing where I initially turned down the audition because I was like, I'm a fat, balding guy. Like, fuck you. I can't even get seen for Mama fucking Mia. You know, like, what do you want? And then they were like, please just come in. And so I did. And I was like, wish I had a river so long. And then I remember meeting Casey at the final callbacks. And like, Casey, like, all of you have magical, powerful gifts. But your gift is really just like being a caring, loving mom. You're just nurturing and loving and sweet.
I wasn't a mom then. I was far from a mom then.
But you were a mom to me in that moment because I was terrified. Like,
I mean, I was terrified through all my many, many callbacks as well.
It was, really?
Yeah, it was. I like felt like it should be my gig, and I knew I like could do it, but I was very psyched up and scared and like straddling that like excitement of being in the room and also fear and like coming back in over and over and trying to like give them what they wanted. I remember Jordan Thaler like called me and like gave me tips, which hadn't happened since when I was first starting out in the business. And I thought like how caring and generous that a casting director would try to like, you know, I could tell he was rooting for me, but I was worried I wasn't going to produce what they wanted me to produce. And then I got to read with Will in my final callback, which was always really fun. Yeah. Did you not know that, Gav?
No.
Yeah. Will was in there for all the girls that came down to the wire for that puppy. Whoa. And I flew back from LA. I was living in LA and I flew back to New York for the final callback and had to buy a winter coat because it was snowing and freezing. And then I found out like just after I went to Brooklyn Industries and bought a winter coat, I was on the subway platform and I found out I got the job. And I still use that coat. In the winter, it's like a sleeping bag. It's the best. It's really interesting for a bit. But,
Isn't that in the lyrics?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Will, what was your audition like for Hair? How did this all work for you? Because you were there from like...
I was there from the concert.
Guys, remember the park?
Remember the park?
The park was so magical. Doing this show under the stars.
Remember the raccoons?
God, if we heard that,
they're hating on us, Will.
No, it's funny. If you weren't there in the park,
you'll never feel complete.
Grasp the magic.
Show. Yeah, they never really got to meet Diane. Yeah. No.
You finished the race, you just didn't start it.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
No.
Oh. Sorry, welcome.
The park.
I had to go in with the masses. It was the all call. And I had done like an ensemble part for the public the year prior to that, I think. And so they just called me in to audition. And I'd never met Diane. Oscar Eustace was brand new to the public. He had only done a couple of shows by the time we were doing this concert. And this was his first sort of project that he'd dreamed up, I think, to the way he's put the public on the map. It was his first kind of big, brilliant idea that worked commercially. Mm. And I just remember thinking, all right, I got to let it rip. So I took my pants off in my audition. And
you
Yeah,
all,
I did.
All the pants.
Like I didn't. I was all naked. I took off my jeans and I had bought a pair of American flag boxer shorts.
Genius.
And I drew like a peace sign over the flag, and so I pulled down my pants, and so that was like joke number one. And then I turned around and I slid them down a little bit, and I slapped my ass cheek.
So wait, you did that in the show. You took your pants off in the opening monologue. So that had to come from your audition.
No, I mean, that's in the script. That's always kind of a thing. It was written in just like, whoever takes his pants off. So that's why I did it, right? Really.
I imagine
there was the option of sort of not doing that at the audition, just because it's an audition and you'd think, I'm not going to take my pants off for an audition. But then they didn't give me the part. They called me and they said, okay, you're on hold. They've offered it to someone. I have no idea who it was. I don't want to know, but I'm sure, you know, it was someone amazing. And then John Stamos said no. And then I got it. So we did the concert.
3 days. We thought we were employed for 3 days or for three performances.
Yeah, it turned
into 4 years. Of employment, and it's
but see, that's what's crazy is Gav and I and Sasha, we were coming in when it was already the hot ticket, you know. We were like, oh god, okay, everyone already loves them, we better not screw this up. And like,
we were excited when we heard both of your names associated, like when the rumors started coming. I remember we were going to somewhere, we were on a bus, and both of your names were floating around on the bus. You were like, what, Gavin? Casey Levy? I didn't know who you were at that time, Casey Levy, but then...
Well, I hadn't done a lot, yeah.
What were you doing on a bus?
We were going somewhere for a performance. I think it was like GMA and the park.
Okay. Like, hey guys, let's go on the bus.
No, but it was great. And
we had these.
You know?
You were just renting.
That's what we do. We go on buses, we laugh, we get drunk, we get high. Same thing I'm doing right now.
Hey,
times of love and cholera.
I'm getting older now. More edibles.
Oh, no, I can't. So, was that like intimidating to come into the show?
I thought it was intimidating. My audition, I was at like a low point, but I was supposed to be in that Godspell revival the first time that they were going to
remember,
And then it got canceled because of 2008. And there was a lot of stress around the production of Hair. Do you remember all the articles in the Times saying they don't have their money, it's not going to happen? And I was like, oh, I've been through this once already. I'll believe it when I'm bowing on opening night. I didn't believe it was going to happen.
And neither did we at that time.
Sorry?
Neither did we at that time, because we had conversations about that.
Scary. And hats off to Jeffrey Richards and Oscar Eustace for making all that happen. And also hats off to them for being so brilliant that when we recouped, they gave everyone a check for over $1,000, I think. Every single person.
Yeah.
No, who does that? Like, for a show with that wasn't making a ton of money, that's the kind of producing that I'm like, that's classy to say.
Look at all of us being brought into the theater, everybody like around the board in that theater that worked there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Yeah. But I remember sadly now I think it's condos or shops that where we rehearsed out at the Union Square Theater.
Yeah.
And it's not exist anymore. I did Bat Boy there too. And just so sad to me when I walk by and I'm like, oh, what happened to that place? But I'm also grateful because it was like this thing that existed for us and now it's gone and it's like a memory. But yeah. I was being in rehearsal for that. And the first day was Casey and Sasha and I.
I'll never forget that day.
In the lobby. And I remember.
Was that like raised lobby
thing? Yes. We were up the stairs and we were standing. And it was Nadia, I suppose, teaching us. And I'll never forget hearing Casey sing for the first time.
Oh.
Understanding what true warmth in vocal sound sounds like.
Oh my God.
It's the neatest. Anybody who's heard her sing, I mean, she can skrelt really high. That's exciting, but it's the body that happens right in here that just nobody sings like that. Her. Yeah.
Casey, I've always been a fan.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan.
Yeah.
I love you. Every time you sing, I cry. Oh, I love every you single guys. Time.
Yeah. Oh,
I cry.
But we know I'm a crier. And then the next day was us being introduced to the 26 other tribes. And then, for those of you who have ever done a Diane Paula show, these presentations, and they're all these, oh my God.
I had coronavirus then. Do you remember how sick I was? I was the first coronavirus patient back in 2009. And I still had to do my effing character presentation.
My presentation was normal.
It was a disaster. Everyone was so creative and had like all their bits. And I was just like,
for anybody who's watching, it was like a list of things you have to come up with when you do a show with Diane. And at the time, you had all done them in the park already. So you knew what to expect. I think you were all still crapping your pants.
But still, yes.
We started rehearsals on a Tuesday or something. And Friday we had to do our presentations. I didn't know anybody. You had to have a kiss. You had to do a dance. You had to, the best thing about being alive is this. And the worst.
What did you bring to the hippie?
Yes.
Hideout?
Yes. Yeah. The whole concept was that the show got on a truck and they threw all the stuff for the band from the park and they drove down and they inhabited an abandoned theater and they painted the walls and we took over the theater and I was just crapping my pants. And to this day, I count on things I learned from people in that show. And to this day, I know that Michael James Scott was the one who tied the felt on the mallet that hits the gong. You know, like, and that Steele and Paris were responsible for the truck so they could drive it down. And
I'll never forget Paris nailing into the wall or Saquon's presentation.
Megan
Lawrence Saquon opening the beer.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't know what he drinks.
For me, going into the show was really terrifying because, like, you know, like I was coming out of a very dark place. I was very scared. I was giving up on the business. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I'm a swing in a Broadway show filled with people that have been on a pedestal to me. Like, all of you, I'd be like, oh, look at their shoes. They wear shoes that look like people that are on Broadway would wear. Look at their hair. They wear clothes and jeans like people that have been on Broadway would wear, you know, like that kind of mentality where like I just didn't have self-esteem back then. I was always just faking it. And that presentation day was so scary. Like I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I remember like I lost my best friend very tragically passed away like the year before and I didn't know what to do. So at the presentation, I was like, oh, this is my best friend and he's dead. And I brought a picture of him. Ah! You know,
is his name George?
Jorge.
Jorge.
Yeah.
I totally remember that.
But at the same time, it made everyone, we were on an even playing field from that moment on with that because we were all like terrified to do that.
We were all scared together.
So it was a bonding moment in that way. We all cried together. We were all scared together. We all laughed together. It was just, by the end of the day, I was like, I love these people. I love every single one of these people. And I want to hang around with them for the rest of my life.
Except Gavin.
Thank you. He's a little weird, but everyone else was great.
Bottom heavy guy. That's what was
happening. I mean, somewhere.
Oh, God. Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember when we took over the theater and we spent the night?
Yeah. We almost, what did we get? We got to like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was pretty late. Yeah. Pretty late.
And then we felt bad because we were keeping the doorman there.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you remember from that night, Will?
I remember sitting in a circle and we all went around and did something.
Casey, it was Casey's idea.
It was?
Yeah,
it was so beautiful on the stage. We did.
I have no recollection of that, but that sounds like a
magnum of wine that she was drinking straight out of.
I was?
No, Lauren Elder.
Oh, yes, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Holding back.
Hey, Lauren, what's up, girl?
World Whistler champion.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that night Will saying something that I've quoted a million times of saying, looking at everybody and then looking at me and saying, Gavin and I are old. and then saying, but we know this doesn't exist. What we're having, what this is, the show, this doesn't happen. This is not normal.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm like, no, it was not normal at all. It was just.
It was so fucking amazing. Yeah. That whole experience.
Yeah.
Night after night. I feel like I can think about the story you just told about Will saying that in the circle. And I feel like a feeling in my chest. Mm-hmm. That's like a homesickness that you get when you think of something when you're a kid, like way, 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 way back, one of your first memories, and you like feel it. That's how I feel about hair and all of you. And I mean, we can tell everybody watching, like we've all been texting, like we have a cast group text chain for 10 years that we come back to. It's amazing.
Like you could be in a meeting or something and then you come back to your phone and you pick it up and there's like 176 texts and you're like, oh, the hair
train. The hair train. It has been activated.
Yeah. The babies being born and first words and Brianna's kid today singing Glitty Glop Gloopy on at moments of great pain, us coming together and being like, we're there. What do you need? I'm going to say it. I love people in all the other shows I've done, but there's something weird about hair that binds people together in that way that I will cherish forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. Mm.
I know, I'm like trying not to sob.
Yeah.
In the project, somebody once, I told somebody I got hair, and they said, that show's going to change your life. And I just remember thinking, whatever. And it couldn't have been more true.
Yeah.
Nothing about it.
It was also remember, it was like a really different time on Broadway. That was the first time that social media started being a thing.
Yes.
And I remember our producers, they had like a social media team, and all of us were like, what the hell is this? Like, what are they asking? And they kept asking us to do like weird things online. And we were like, I don't know about that.
Facebook had been invented, what was it? The year, sorry to say, but in the park, someone had said like, you can post pictures on Facebook. And I was like, what's that? And they were like, oh, it's this new social media thing. And I was like, what's that? You know, the iPhone had just been created like the year prior to that. Oh so God, like all of this stuff was so really old. New. So we had no idea what was happening. You know, if we had done this show with all the social media now, it would have been a different experience. But fortunately, we were kind of insulated in a way that we didn't have to deal with that so much. Yeah. But it was brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new. Who knew?
Yeah.
But we still, without that, had this reach. That show just like touched people so far and wide. And I think a lot of it was people coming up on stage to dance at the end. They just felt like they had ownership. It's like the way when you move to New York from wherever you are, because nobody's from New York or very few people are. Like, you're like, oh, this is my city now. Like, it's mine. Like, I take it. And I feel like that's how people felt about our show. They watched it. We interacted with them. But then they got on stage at the end and they were like, mine.
Yeah.
Like, I will never forget this. I was part of this.
How many times when you're doing shows of people like coming up to you and say, I danced with you on stage. Do you remember I was there and I came up and talked about blank, blank, and blank. And I'm like, I wish I had a brain that could remember every single person, but you know,
right.
It was so
still happening.
Because it was so impactful to them to be there. And I, you know.
Yeah. Just about everybody that mentions that they saw the show to me adds at the end of it, I saw the show. You grabbed my hair, or you touched my arm, or you drank my drink, or I danced with you on stage. Almost every single person adds that on the end.
Yeah. You got around. If you saw hair, Will touched you.
Well, you were very popular. When I was a swing, I remember being outside at intermission, and Meg Ryan was outside with somebody being like, that Will Swenson. And I like ran up to her dressing room, and I was like, yo, Will, Brian's outside being like, Will Swenson this. And you were like, go get her. And I was like, nope, I'm on my way to the swing floor. Have a good show. See what I'm on.
I've got things to watch.
I've got an underwear party to go to.
I heard about the swing floor. Right? I mean, we were crazy as rippies, but I don't think we cut what happened on the
It was dirty.
Oh, the swing floor.
25th Street, that's right.
Named after
the shenanigans, the absolute shenanigans that got on the swing floor. Y'all, those of you, if anyone's out there watching right now, you have to know that the real dirtiness, the real debauchery, the real hippie on that floor, wasn't it? The sixth floor, all the way up there. If you got that high, you were going there. They did naughty things.
How dare you?
And then sometimes
Josh.
Pop up and visit, and then you come back and then you come down. You're like, "Ooh, how's that?"
My eyes are burning. Sixth floor. I was on 125th Street.
That's what
that's
we
call 125th Street.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What happened to that massage table?
Don't get a UV light out from there. Don't
you get either burn or went to the Broadway flea market. Who knows?
They burned it.
Oh, PT.
PT.
Darius, I was really lucky in the sense that like I got to do the show with you in New York. And in New York, you were like a big brother to me in the sense that, I don't know, like you were just always there for me because I was so young and going through so many emotions and you got it. And, but then we went on the road together.
Yes, had a ball.
Yeah.
The road was something different too. You know, that every iteration of every, you know, process of the show was just like another layer of fantastic experience, you know, from, you know, the initial 3 days and the park experience, then the Broadway, then London, the West End was this big cherry on top of the cake. And then the tour, like every time. And I had to do another presentation each time. So I got to go deeper and deeper with the character each time because I had to find another layer to present with each presentation. So by the time I left the show, I was like, I know this person inside and out, backwards and forwards, everything. So he's he stays with me. And that's what I take away from the show, is that that character stays with me and helped me get through a lot of tough times in life and helped me celebrate a lot of great things in life as well. And I just love that experience and the relationships that I had with each and every one of the characters, you know, people with script names and people with made up names. It was a relationship with each and every one of these characters, new ones that came through the tour, new ones that came to us in London. There was a whole new family that just kind of was enveloped in this whole big family of hippies. So it's immense. It went from 30 people to like 110, you know. So it's this wonderful family of this 2009 presentation. And I hold it right here.
I've seen you all do performances that are like, you know, just it reminds me of why I do, why I ever wanted to do this, you know?
Me too, Josh. Watching
these three
perform, same thing.
You know? But there's one that I want to bring up about you, Darius. Gavin, you weren't there this night, but remember maybe 2 years ago we did that Lincoln Center. We revived it again for one night. Or whatever that was.
The 50th anniversary?
Yeah. Yes. And Darius, you got up as HUD to do your monologue. And Trump fucking Tower was behind you. And viewers, I love you all. And you know I don't get political on my show. But right now, in times of love and cholera, wake up. Yeah. But Darius, it was behind you.
Yeah.
And
it started with Will did it first, you know, and Liberty's, you know, daughter, you know, and he had that moment. And I was like, oh, God. I started welling up. And I was like, oh, because I could feel what you were going through, too, Will, and having to stand there and say that as well. And so that just, you know, it kind of fed into what I was feeling, that, you know, we thought that this song, especially my song, was something about history, that it was in the past.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the past came crashing down to us in the present. And I had to stand there and sing that song again, knowing that those words were now being uttered again.
Right. A song that was on its way to becoming ironic.
Yes.
No longer. Yeah.
So.
Mm. That was a crazy thing, because we did the show in the era of Obama.
Yes.
And it meant something different. And then all of a sudden that night, the show meant something different.
Yeah, Darius, the president of the United States of Love, used to get an amazing reaction because it was about Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And then to do it again with Trump Tower in the background was just, it was a gross juxtaposition of emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were all in it together again, lifting each other up. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done it. Well, I know you couldn't have done it. And if we weren't standing there behind you supporting each other,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's what we did that night again. Once again, lifted each other up.
We had to do something important in London, I'm sure.
No, I was in Hello Dolly. I couldn't get out of
it. All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's what it was.
I
also learned that night that I'm too old to be in hair.
Oh, Lord.
Goddamn.
We were jumping around like we were kids again, and it was like next morning, it was like, no.
No, never again.
Oh, God. Oh,
like,
I'm not 27 anymore.
No, there's now a plaque in front of Lincoln Center that's like, never again will that woman be in hair. This will never happen again, and let this remind you.
Oh, God.
The stretching that's involved in doing shows now, the stretching, the icing, the PT.
Oh, right? God.
The therapy. Oh.
The surgery. I've got a new surgery for every show I do. I mean, it's like it's insane. I don't know how, and I still feel and hear like I did when I walked into the Al Hirschfeld Theater. I still feel,
of course.
But then I went and saw Mary Poppins in London when I was doing Waitress just now, and I saw Charlie Stemp, who played Barnaby after Taylor left on Broadway.
So cute.
And he is, first of all, he can like do the, he can touch his toe, you know, he can do things that I can do. But the majority of the choreography was the same stuff that I did when I was in Mary Poppins over there. And I watched at the first act, I was like, how did I ever do that? And then when I got up to go to the bathroom, I was like, I can't even sit in a theater. For, I don't feel like I'm that old, but my God, my back hurt, my knees hurt. I was like, this is bad.
Yes.
But
serious.
But that's, they call it doctor theater. It's like sometimes you get up and you're like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. And then you get up and you're like, and then you come off stage and everybody goes, how did you do that? I said, talk to me tomorrow morning because I probably won't be able to do it again.
Right.
You know, but it is that thing of power or magic or whatever it is.
My agents are like, do you want to audition for this? And I'm like, what floor is the dressing room on? They're like, it's 20 men who are reading. And I'm like, what floor is the dressing room on?
Or I used to read scripts and I would like look at a script and I'd be like, oh, I'm not on that page. I'm on this page. And now I read scripts. I'm like, oh, I'm on this page. Oh, it's like, how much time do I have off?
Yeah. Stage? How long is my pee break? Do I have to change backstage or can I get back to my dressing room?
How many costume changes?
Yeah.
Act one. Or am I just in act two?
Oh. Yes. Do they talk about me in act one and then I just come in act two?
Right.
Oh, those are golden.
Sign me up for that one.
Yeah. We're officially elderly, y'all.
Is there an intermission or it's just 90? I'll do it.
Oh, yeah. 90 minutes. All shows should be 90 minutes. Yes. I said it.
You're here.
Oh, my God. Speaking of shows, Casey, I'm so excited that Carolina Change is coming in the fall.
Me too. I'm so happy. They got in touch with us.
One of my favorite shows of all time.
Oh my God, it's such a beautiful show. And this production is really special. Really.
Did you haven't even done a preview yet? Or had you done one preview?
No, we were about to do our invited dress rehearsal.
Oh.
And we were doing our second full pass that afternoon when like the articles started breaking. And it's funny, the night, I think that was a Thursday. So on Wednesday, we did our first run through that night in tech. And, I kept saying to everybody, take your stuff home in case we don't come back here tomorrow. Cause all of us were on like high alert, like the rest of the country and the rest of Broadway. And then when we came in, we were like, oh, maybe it's going to be okay. And then of course it wasn't. And, but we knew that like, we knew right away, Todd Haymes is amazing. And everybody ran about, I've never worked for them before. This is my first time that they, are super transparent and like super, present in the room. And they came right over from the Broadway League meeting directly to speak to all of us and said, this is happening. We just don't know when or how exactly. Obviously we'll see how all of this pans out. So when they got in touch and said it was going to be postponed and that they'd be announcing it today, I felt really good about it because it is something like Sharon, who plays Caroline, is so, so special. Mm. And it's also a show that I've loved for a really long time and never got to see on Broadway. So I'm very, very grateful to be part of it.
Mm. Nice.
Girl, when I was living in New York, like the first few years, I was working 3 jobs. It was horrible. I would go to work at like 4 a.m. with my CD, you know, like Walkman. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to Carolina Change because I couldn't afford my rent. And I don't know why I thought that I identified as like a single black mother trying to raise a bunch of kids.
Makes sense.
But I'd be like, take Joshua away. I can't afford him. And yes, I'm an incredible Caroline. It's a racially insensitive production, but my cats think I'm great.
I can't breathe.
Anyway, I'm obsessed with the show. I can't wait. And if you ever want to like call me and be like, there's extra food.
Oh my gosh. I'm constantly back in my apartment being like, it's like the antithesis of singing Frozen. It's like going from it's so dissonant. I mean, I have a good ear, but it took me a minute for all of those. Every entrance is like, like a really weird blue note.
One day you sing it just like Elsa would, though. Just trying to be friendly. Just trying to be a friend. Anyway. Sorry,
oh my.
Okay, so when we're having our invited dress, now that I know how passionate you are, I'm inviting you. So you got to come to the invited dress. But don't judge me, because I need like a week of previews before I want people really to come.
Two pets. Speaking of in emoji land, I would just fuck around a lot. Not fucking around, but I improvised. And there was this part where I was like seducing a guy, but he's a man baby, much like Eric, Gavin Creel's son. But instead of being like, you know, let's go fuck, I'd be like, let's go to my room and listen to Caroline or Tate.
I forgot about him. Hi, hey, Eric.
Hey, you love Eric.
I forgot about Eric too.
What was your favorite camp to go to, Eric?
Well, listeners, my friend Lucas calls it spirit now. And like, because I'll just do my bits and it doesn't matter if you're in the mood or not. Like, I'm doing my bit and you're a part of it. Like, you're just past. And my friend Lucas will be like, Spirit, can I talk to Josh now? Anyway, so Eric, his name's Eric Equality for Cats Creel. And he has a nervous and he was adopted by Gavin Creel at Broadway Barks for Orphans. And during the trip, when we would all be dead on stage, I'd be near Gavin and I'd go, Dad, Dad, it's me, Eric. Dad, don't worry, I'm not dead. I'm just in costume. Eric, Dad, it's me. I'm just Penny.
Dude, my son. To the point now where I will literally do that to other people. I'll on stage in the middle of a show. I do Eric my own. I'll like if I'm on a stage with Casey, I'll just be like, Casey, I'm on Broadway. We're on Broadway. Like to this day, I will like literally just break character and be
you
like,
never you never do it to Sarah Bareilles?
I don't think I did that to her. I did
other like, it was a tasty pie. That's me.
Yeah, the stuff we get up to on stage that people have no idea. Well, hopefully they have no idea.
No, that's the fun. You can have fun, but no one can know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the skill.
You go, Darius. You go.
No, I was saying that's the skill of being a beautiful Broadway performance, that you're able to hide your shenanigans inside of your show.
Or you're able to actually hide, which is what I did after I was dead as Fantine. And I had to come back and be peeling some potatoes on the barricade. So Will and Ramin are out there acting up a storm. And I'm literally in the, what's it called? Barricade. Hiding on people, scaring the living hell out of people. Mainly Terrence. I would actually get myself, I would like squeeze my body into the smallest dark. I mean, that show was very dark. Lit, darkly lit, and I would get into like the tiniest place and then jump out at somebody during Ramin and Will like actually being professionals. So sometimes you hide that way you break the rules. And I'm gonna take a sip of
with our Olivia Pope wine glass.
Yeah,
that's right. It is Olivia Pope.
Nice. Will, listen, have you ever done anything naughty on stage?
Me?
Say that again.
Will, I asked him if he's been naughty on stage.
Will? Never. Of course he has. Never. What are you talking about?
Well, I know he has, but...
He wants to hear a story.
I want a story from Uncle Will.
Of course, we all do. I can't think of a story.
You're a monster. If my show goes off the air, it's your fault. You understand? Yes. Yeah.
Nothing
wrong.
Anything?
What's that?
Will doesn't have any good story. I know you've got to.
I can't think of one right now.
Your resume is long, Will.
For such a good actor, you are shit at lying right now, dude.
What are some fun fucking things that went wrong during Hair?
Gavin's screw up is one of the best of all time.
Gavin's was amazing.
Wait, oh,
geez. I don't remember.
He went to the white room.
I just walked forward and put my arms out like I was Jesus. Oh, yeah, my
like this.
God.
And Will like, and I just started screaming.
So we couldn't help him.
And nobody. And it was, I thought it was a vamp. It's a vamp. So I can go. And I was like, it's not a vamp. It's like 32 bars. And all I hear is Will's the first one. And then Casey, what? And then
everyone's supposed to be singing.
Everyone on
like 8 minutes of what?
For like 32 bars.
For 5 minutes. And then.
Oh, God.
And all you can remember was spider web. And I think in the middle of something, you went, spider.
No.
Because I knew there was something about singing our space songs on a spider web sitar. But that wasn't my verse. That was your verse, Casey, wasn't it?
You didn't say spider.
I did. I was like, spider.
Oh my God. I don't remember that, but that's amazing.
The entire second verse before I was like, I feel like I can. Oh God, you guys, I saw somebody sent me a clip of that online and I've never seen the show since. And I cried. I like saw that moment and I was like, oh my God, that moment was so electric because we're all together. And that night we were all together. And then people, all I saw was the backs of people like, clock. Shaking, laughing, and I was like, thanks a lot, everybody.
We didn't have your back at all. There's nothing we could do.
No, there was nothing.
There was one time in London when Steele, I think it was London, when Steele was on for You Will, or maybe it was right after you had left.
Uh-huh.
And he had, I don't quite remember the timing, but I thought he dropped a line, which was the pickup line into Easy to Be Hard. And I thought he didn't say I hate yellow, and we were doing our standoff, and he was supposed to say I hate yellow, rip the shirt and walk off stage, and then Easy to Be Hard would start, and he didn't say it, and I was like, this fucking guy. I'm just gonna stand here and wait for him to say his line. And we stood and stared at each other for like a solid 30 seconds, like a very long time for silence, especially in hairthemusical.com. And then at the end of the silence, I realized that I hadn't said the line that prompted him to say, I hate yellow.
So and I was like, this fucking girl.
Yeah. So that was a bad one. Oh. Because I felt very entitled.
The kick in the face is a major one.
The kick in the face was a good one.
Because. Yep. The only understudy in the house that night was Nicole, who's black. So the first act was she
right,
like Casey, and the second act, in the middle of the second act, we're like, how do we make this story make any sense? Because we can't just put a blonde wig on her and make her
sure can
like it's Casey. So
nope,
we're calling her Zoe, but like.
That is one of the greatest stories ever.
I was messing around.
I did that to myself. I went down to hang out with Gavin. I went from upstage to downstage to hang out with Gavin. And John Morrow was doing paddle turns with his hands like this. Just paddle turns and went because I ran into his hand. He did. It wasn't his fault. Blood. I had a cousin from Canada that was at the show that night that followed me to the emergency room. There was an ambulance. It was a lot. And then Zoe sang Starshine, right?
We had that big show, right?
Yeah. The whole thing was me orchestrating like the romance between those
two. Yeah, you were like forcing them together.
And we're like, why is he pushing this girl? We haven't really met.
But like Linda from Long Island is like, they're hippies, hon. It's fine.
There's no real plot anyway.
Oh, I totally forgot about that night.
But wow. Darius, yours was amazing. Yours when you're abso-fucking-lutely, abso-fucking-beautiful. That's still one of my favorite moments of the entire run. Do you remember that?
No. Did I? What happened?
Really?
No, I don't remember.
You were ad-libbing the abso-fucking. You were like looking at everybody, but you forgot the lutely, abso-fucking-beautiful. Which just made us all die laughing.
I have no memory of that.
But it was the best. It was like one of my happy moments.
All of you.
I mean, that was the best thing about hair is we were all just in a semicircle watching our friends do like bits. And we could just laugh at whatever happened and they had to deal with it.
Your turn. Oh, God.
So. Josh, did you ever have any crazy moments when you were on?
Not really.
It's Josh.
You're always brilliant.
No, I mean, it was scary for me. Like, I was always really concerned about being exactly where everybody was, which was impossible because it's hair. And then I was really concerned about being like, if I'm on for Anthony, I have to be just like Anthony, but I'm not like Anthony at all. And if I'm Theo, then I have to be like, just like Theo, but I'm not like Theo at fucking all. And then eventually I was like, bitch, just be you. And I found me and it was fun. But it was more just like Broadway boot camp for me. But by the end of it, like, it was the best experience of my life. I made some of my closest friends. Like, we don't ever see each other face to face very often, but there is nothing that I wouldn't do for any of you.
I know that. Yeah.
Of any day, at any time, no matter if we were best friends during the run or if we were just like friends during the run.
Mm-hmm.
And besides prom, no other show I've ever, you know, it's like there aren't many shows that are like that.
Mm-hmm. And we had so much interaction with the musicians, which is unusual for a show too, that we got to play with the musicians as well and become friends with them. And they were characters in the play as well, because they were right there and accessible to us. So seeing them up there, gesturing to them, and, you know, it was great. Yeah. A whole big family on stage, despite the sound issues.
We had Bernard Purdy on drums. I mean,
Bernard,
legendary drummer, playing Broadway. And you could always tell when he'd had a steak for dinner. He would lay back, and we'd be like, boom, boom, don't. And Nadia's at the piano trying to like.
But he would have his eyes closed. He would close his eyes, so he would have an excuse,
depending on what Birdie was feeling.
Yes. Yeah. It was whatever show. And then sometimes it would be frustrating, but then you just remind yourself it's Purdy on the drums.
Legend.
When are we ever going to be in this situation ever again, having like a legend like that?
We went on Letterman and he played the rehearsal just fine. And then we went on Letterman for the taping and he was like, dum, 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 dum.
Yeah. It was the fastest it ever was ever on Letterman. Ever. Yeah.
I fell off the top of the Hippie Hideaway.
Who?
To the ground.
Who?
Yep. Yep. It was bad. I fell. I don't know what I was doing up there. It was in London and I fell, and Andrew Kober witnessed the entire thing and it was mortifying.
Oh my gosh.
Off the back or the front? The side?
The side, like in between Nadia and, you know, that little like steps
ladder,
that go up the side, the ladder. Yeah. You know, the little steps, a ladder. Yeah. That I think I was climbing down and my foot missed it and I just.
Oh,
so that was fun. But I was, you know, 20 something. So I was just like, I'm okay. Like,
you bounced
back up.
I was injuring you constantly in that show, Casey.
Yes, you were rough. You were rough.
I know.
It was your character.
It was my character.
It was.
There was a verb created. People would say I got burgered because I was such a loose cannon, sort of, and encouraged. In my defense, I was encouraged to be that kind of a loose cannon.
You had license. But yeah.
Because I was the variable, I was the one that was constantly bumping into people and causing bumps and bruises. And
you were just full out. That's what was so good about it. But it was a lot.
You remember? Well, this is the thing that the existing cast members didn't really tell us. But when we were staging the show for the Hirschfeld and being like, oh, so somebody can make an entrance from the back of this balcony. I mean, oh, I'll do that. That sounds amazing. And all the rest of the cast is like, yeah, go for it. I'm thinking it'll be so fun. And then realizing I had to climb all the way up to the back of the thing, stairs and everything. And then the cast, when we got into previews and we're like, they're like, sucker. Yeah. It's like, I made an entrance. Oh, I guess I had to make an entrance as Claude during the BN. But I had to go through the dressing room upstairs and in the back, and then there was a door at the back of the balcony. Mm-hmm. I remember just being so grateful that no one warned me about that.
Oh,
about saying, being energetic and saying, "Oh, Does anybody want to cover that? And why isn't anybody saying anything? I'll be a team player. I'm new here.
When I had to go on for fuckers that I, during hair, that it would have to climb the goddamn ladder and go into the mezzanine, you think I was singing? I was like, it was horrific.
Oh, God. No, you get a pass. You don't have to sing on those moments.
No. You guys.
We had no pit singers, right? We had no pit singers, did we?
No pit singers. We had the 125th Street. There was another show going on up there.
That was all us live and in person, breathiness and all.
My friends, I really love you all so much, and I'm really grateful that we're all still in our lives. I've learned from you all so much, and my only regret about, like, the hardest thing about doing this is that we don't have a service that could host all of us.
No, we'll try.
Yeah, 40 of us. Yeah.
That's the only shitty thing. But I love you all. And for everybody that tuned in tonight, thank you so much. If you would like, you can go to bpn.fm/donate to support the Actors Fund. If you'd like to support our show, it's www.patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. And thank you all so much for being a part of my life, for being a part of the Broadway community, and for, I don't know, just fucking being my sunshine all the time. I love you guys.
Hey, everybody, keep the faith. It's going to be a bit, it's going to be a minute, but just keep the faith. I'm having a hard time with it. I'm practicing, but it's, if this show taught us anything, it's that community is everything and connection is everything. So thank you for bringing us together tonight. And hopefully people out there are feeling there's a lot of feelings, a lot of sadness, a lot of loneliness, whatever, but just know that we're still all out here and don't give up.
Yeah. Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
Love you guys. Miss you.
Love you guys so much. Forever family.
Yep. Always.
Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating, leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive, and swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.